Hey church family, my name's Emmeline, if I haven't met you before. And this morning we're going to be reading 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 10 to 21. So read along with me. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God.
Thanks, Emmeline, for reading the Bible for us. Right now I'm going to pray, so I invite you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. And Father, may you, by your Spirit, plant that word into our lives and our hearts so that we might live lives pleasing to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in these unprecedented times we live in, amongst other things, it's been amazing how many times we've said the word unprecedented. You might have seen it's one of the jokes going around. And humour is one of the ways we cope with the times we're in now. All the video and comments and memes we're posting and sharing, I've been doing it too. Humour is good. I know a friend of mine is giving coronavirus life hacks. For instance, when you watch TV, whenever the people get too close, we should yell out to the screen, "Social distancing!" So it'll make for a much more interactive viewing experience. Humor's good. It helps. But I think being funny has more of a role while real suffering is still somewhat further away. I mean, a joke might fall flat for the person who's now lost their job and now wondering how they're going to pay their rent. A joke will fall flat for the person who's in hospital with a virus on oxygen, their life in the balance. So just to say, humor can be helpful, helps us through, helps us get some perspective, but when real suffering comes to us, we need something more real. See, each and every one of us needs something solid and a living hope that can take us through the worst of times. And this is what the message of 1 Peter is about. The Apostle Peter, verse 1, is writing to a bunch of Christians who are scattered all over a region of the Roman Empire, which would now be Turkey. And it's a time of growing persecution for Christians, persecution from the government, persecution from their neighbours. It's a different type of suffering than we might ever experience, but this message of hope is still heaps relevant for us right now for what we're going through. So I want to say 3 points for how we can get through this time together. Firstly, count your blessings, which sounds a bit like the advice I've been hearing around the place this week, and we'll get to that. Secondly, be active with your mind. And thirdly, be holy. We'll get back to what Kylie and Rusty were talking about. Okay, well, let's look at this first point. count your blessings. You know, I've heard a lot about this week. Count your blessings. In other words, look at the bright side. You know, so you're stuck at home. Well, no excuses now for the blokes to get into all those house projects they've been avoiding for ages. Count your blessings. To get to work, no more traffic, no need to shave, stay in your bathrobe all day long. Count your blessings. You'll now have time to smash out that Netflix series you've been wanting to watch. Count your blessings. It's about, you know, looking at the bright side. And I think there is something to be said about, you know, getting perspective. Count your blessings. But I want to say, what about for the person who has lost their job? Or for the person who is really sick? Then how does count your blessings work? See, this is different. This is count your blessings of having Jesus Christ. And this is verses 10 to 12. This is for God's people. Remember the incredible salvation you have in Jesus Christ. That's the blessing. And it's coming at it from the perspective of, you know, all those ancient scriptures, the Old Testament, the prophets of old. Well, they'd love to have what you and I have. In fact, the angels of God would love to have what you and I have. Now, from verse 10, it talks about the Jewish prophets. That's people like Moses and Elijah and Isaiah and Malachi. We've got all their writings. They came hundreds of years before Jesus, and yet they spoke this prophetic message of Jesus to come. In fact, it says, verse 11, by the Spirit of Christ in them, they spoke of the coming of the Christ, his sufferings and his glory that would follow. So way before you and me, their message ultimately was ultimately for you and me, that Jesus came to suffer for us and rise again and rule and eventually return. In fact, in the next verse, verse 12, it's really being rammed home that privileged position we're in now that we know Jesus Christ. His death for us, his resurrection to new life, his current rule, his eventual return. These ancient prophets were serving you. We're speaking of something that would come to you. This is the gospel, the good news of Jesus preached to you. We are in such a privileged position. Even angels are amazed. You know, angels, the original incredible beings with superpowers, think it's incredible what we have got. See, this is about knowing the privileged position we are in. You know, when I grew up, there was a kid on my street and I thought he was really privileged. So had so much more than me. You know, he had an Atari, which was just the latest and greatest computer console. Check out the wood paneling. He had a pool table in the garage. So I loved going over to his house whenever I could. But on top of that, his parents had a waterbed, and whenever his parents were away, we'd jump all over their waterbed. Confession time, sorry neighbours. See, I thought he had such privileges, so blessed. So see how we can focus on what others have, but the Apostle Peter says to these Christians, realise what you have. You've got what those old-time people of the Bible, those super spiritual Jewish prophets would have loved. The coming of Jesus the Christ, his sufferings, the glories that followed, all of that is yours now. So I want to say, count your blessings. You know, that's a valid approach in times of hardship, but the blessing of having Jesus doesn't fade as suffering grows. For these Christians back then, their property is confiscated, they're losing citizenship rights. They're having been thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. I mean, that was starting to happen. But incredibly, this message is still, remember, you have Christ. You have all what history pointed to, what the angels are astounded about. And it's the same for us who are in Jesus Christ. Right now, you know, all our plans for this year have been turned upside down. Growth in our business, holidays, a wedding, plans for grade 12, work, and the longer isolation goes on, introverted or extroverted, It doesn't actually matter. It's actually going to get harder. So to have Jesus, it's this grounding, hope-giving thing. You know, all of God's plans that have been worked out over the ages, centered on Jesus, have now come to you. This is not trite. Turn that frown upside down. But this is to say that this time will eventually be over. This time of turmoil and trouble will eventually be over. Be a distant memory, and what we have in Christ will be forever. Christian church, let's remember this together. So that's the first point. Count your blessings. Here's the second point. Be active with your mind. And what I'm talking about is from verse 13. This is about take action. Now, boys and girls, men and women, be deliberate and intentional to have Jesus on your mind. Fix your hope on Christ and his return. Have a look here. This is from verse 13. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. See those words at the start? They're very active words here in this verse. With your minds that are alert, set your hope. We're supposed to conjure something very active and deliberate here. Actually, verse 13 is in the original language is more literally roll up your sleeves for action. See, it's action time. You know, like we think Bear Grylls is an action man or Ninja Warrior, tough and determined. You know, with Ninja Warrior, have you ever noticed before they get going, they might tuck in their shirt or pull up their socks or tighten their laces just to make sure everything is in place before they get going? Well, this is active. Roll up your sleeves in your mind. Set your hope and your mind on Jesus Christ. So with those other verses, verse 11 and 12, we're talking about the wonderful privilege and blessing of having Jesus. But verse 13 is about all of us need to listen to this message and also take it in. Let's be thinking. Let this be our focus. Jesus. Speaking to Christians here in the times we're living in, this is what we have to do. Because right now, I want to say, there are so many distractions and dangers to do the exact opposite. I'll make this practical. You know, we're now more homebound than ever, aren't we? We're more tied to the screen than we ever have been. And I'm grateful for this screen, but let's be aware. If we just make this time to live on the couch and crack open the popcorn and go crazy on the binging, and that prospect is really open for us now, isn't it? But if that's all we do, it is not good for us, it is not good for our relationships, it is not good for our relationship with God. I want to say there is such a thing as sloth and screen addiction. So let's actually roll up our sleeves of our mind and take action to focus on Jesus. I want to keep this practical. You know, a lot of advice has been coming out during the week about how we need to build routine and timetables into our lives. I think that's a really good idea. Have a routine for a whole bunch of things, including reading the Bible. Make some plans, set some goals to have your thinking shaped by God's Word. This week online, I'd love to get some discussion going actually amongst Christ Central people about how we're going with our Bible reading plans. Maybe we could even do some of it together. For some, in this time, there's going to be more spare time than ever. So can I just say, let's redeem this time. Not just to watch another Netflix series, but grow in your thinking about God. We'll drop in the Facebook comments there links to a bunch of audio podcasts that I've benefited from that I'd really recommend. Different ones about living as a Christian, faith, sharing your faith. Maybe you could try one of them. Also, there's going to be a link to a Bible reading app for kids. But got to say, you know, for the Swan family, we go up and down in our Bible reading time as a family together. At the moment, we're doing all right. Most of the nights when we can actually have dinner together, I'll open up the Bible and we'll read together. And just recently we've started reading something at the end of that in the lead up to Easter. It's called this, 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came to Die. Each chapter is just 2 pages. I just want to say, have you thought about reading a good book for your mind to be alert and to have your hope set on Christ? Now, why I'm giving you all those ideas is to roll up your sleeves and apply your mind to Jesus, because it tends not to happen if we don't plan for it. Now, we need intention. Hey, the fact that you're watching this live stream instead of sleeping in, that's intention. The fact that you're part of an online growth group, or you will be by the end of this coming week, that's intention. The fact that teenagers got to do their live stream and be in groups on Friday night, that's intention. But I'm just saying, in this new way of life, there are dangers here and there are opportunities here. Let's be in God's word. A lot of us are moving into an unusual time in our life where things just will feel a little bit more merged and fluid. Home life, work life, school life. All you homeschooling parents out there, we've all joined your club now. So I think the advice I'm hearing is good. Routine is needed. Set time to sleep and set time to get up, time to do work, to do study, time to be online, time to be in the garden, go for a walk, get some sunshine, get some vitamin D, we need it. Time to do some home exercise, time to watch a show, but also time to be in the Word, time to be active, to grow our thinking about Jesus, His grace to us. Let's roll up our sleeves in our thinking. So we've had count your blessings, be active in your thinking. Here's the last one, be holy. I reckon Kylie and Rusty nailed it before. Nothing to do with chisels and donuts and old undies. But let's think about this some more. From verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You know, Kylie and Rusty did nail it before. God is holy. He's perfect and good and pure. In that sense, wretched, wicked sinners like us are nothing like him. He is holy. But Jesus died in our place. By the precious blood of Jesus, we have been redeemed. And so for those who have faith in Jesus, God looks at us and he doesn't see us as wretched, wicked sinners. He sees Jesus. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. He sees us as holy. But then we also get this command from God to be holy. Verse 16 is a quote from the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. So we have righteousness of Jesus. We've been made holy, a positional holiness, but we're also told to be God's people with God's Spirit, with His help. We want to be holy. This is practical holiness in the way we act and relate to others, in being more like Jesus. Maybe the word holy has a bit of a bad rap. You know, we think it sounds a bit self-righteous. You know, those holier-than-thou types. It sounds very religious, doesn't it? Holiness is for, you know, temples and candles and priests. But notice it says here, be holy in all you do. In all you do. For you, Christian, there is no physical physical temple to trot off to be holy. So you, Christian, be holy in all you do. Even while you're stuck at home and in isolation. The fact that we can't go anywhere on a Sunday for a while, maybe that's a reminder to all of us that we be holy in all we do. In your lounge room, on your deck, in your kitchen, in your bedroom. Be holy in all you do, in what you watch, in how you interact online. Be holy in how you interact with that little band of self-isolators who are with you as well. Actually, a way of defining practical holiness is actually spiritual isolation. Removing yourself from the selfish, sinful, empty ways of this world. Removing your habits and your decisions away from the empty ways handed down and lived out by others. Empty ways, that's a pretty condemning word, isn't it? But people live empty lives and want to fill up their emptiness with things like sex and power and money, serving self. But Jesus has redeemed us from that way of life. We're holy. We're to live holy. Make decisions, daily decisions, to not live the way of others, but live to be more like Jesus. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in knowing what Christ has done for you, be holy. It's not always easy, but it's what we're called to do. And we have God's Spirit to help us in this. I'm just going to keep relating to how this works for how we're being affected in our lives now. You know, we're all living in our bubbles of our own homes more than ever. So I guess I want to say, you know, we're now living our more private lives. I don't know what you're doing. You know, church family doesn't know what you're doing. Only God knows what you're doing. So I want to say, you know, give you some examples. You know, if mum and dad ask you to help around the house, how you respond will be a decision about being holy. You know, there's one last piece of dessert in the fridge and you could cut it up and share it with a brother or sister. What you do will be a decision about being holy. What you choose to watch or choose not to watch will be a decision about being holy. Your kindness and your patience towards a housemate will be a decision about being holy. How tender and kind you are towards your husband, your wife, will be a decision about being holy. And yes, sharing chisels and that donut will also be a decision about being holy. Holiness. Spiritually isolating ourselves from the empty ways of this world while you self-isolate and spend time with those in your house living holy. You know, it doesn't usually come easy, but it's what we're to do when we have Jesus. Be holy. Well, how are we to get through this time together? Count your blessings. Be active with your mind. Be holy. This is what we're called to do to get through this time. But these things aren't simply, you know, coping mechanisms. They're actually how we bring glory to Jesus in this time. This is how we bring glory to Jesus in times of hardship. Jesus deserves all glory. He suffered for us. He rose again. He rules. He will return. And we have a sure and living hope. I'm going to invite you to now pray with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the wonder and the privilege of belonging to you through what Christ has done for us. Help us to know this, even when many things are being taken away from us. Father, help us to use this time well, to be active and alert, to be in your word. Please grow us and mature us. Help us to be active in that we would even put in timetables, routines, patterns, so that we redeem this time well. And Father, we thank you so much. We praise you that you are holy. And because of what Christ has done for us at the cross, he's redeemed us. We are made holy. You see us as holy. But help us to live this practical life of holiness in the way that we relate to the people around us. By your Spirit, enable us to do that. And in Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen.